A History by Adam Day. The police are not fish. Patrol horse is not. A column of water. Can't swim or be. Swimmed in, but its nose is wet when it hits your forehead. It's History by Adam Day, featured in Progressive Magazine. Today is August 1st, 2022, and it's time for some news. It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. It is Monday, August 1st, 2022, and, well, this is a little pre-recorded. This morning, the sun's already up, so I don't think it's too early, but wanted to get this done because I did find my headphones, or I did find a pair of headphones that would work with my phone, but I suspect at work it's going to get really busy and nobody's going to want to let me disappear for 30 minutes. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, so keep it all here at home. I've also turned the mic up, because I've noticed when I record the show on Mix, my audio is a lot lower than the music. So hopefully everything's leveled out and it's kind of similar volume. We shall see. I wanted to start, before we start up with the world news, I wanted to mention that it looks like a friend of SDF and the Tildeverse and just the small world in general, Tomasino, gave a talk, and if you want, the talk was about Gopher and Gemini, so if you're interested in that kind of stuff, the short URL I made off of TX0 is tx0.org/15w, that's tixo.org/15w, so it's TX, Tango X-ray 0 dot O-R-G. /15W, like whiskey. All right. I just wanted to share that because I thought that was cool that he got to do a talk. That was a direct video URL link. And it's from May Contain Hackers that took place in the Netherlands last week. It actually happened concurrently with HOPE 2022. Or HOPE, what is it, 14? A New Hope. Also, I wanted to let you know that cable modems are way cooler than I ever thought they were. U.S. Robotics has an old support document that explains how it works, but if you've ever used a cable modem and wondered why it takes so long to boot up, there's a whole bunch of protocols and activities that are going on just to make it work. The only thing I wanted to share was that MPEG-2 frames are how everything that goes over your cable modem are packaged. So your TV, MPEG-2. Your data, MPEG-2. It's pretty neat and pretty fun. It was neat to read. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. All right, let's get into world news. That's right, let's do it. So first, Iran's atomic energy chief says country could build a bomb, but has no plans to. Iran's atomic energy chief says the country has the ability to build a nuclear weapon, but has no plan to. Mohammad Islami's comments echo a similar recent statement by a senior advisor to Iran's supreme leader. Such public claims by top officials are rare and are likely to intensify concerns over the nature of Iran's nuclear program. It has advanced its nuclear activities since a deal limiting them faltered. The 2015 agreement began to unravel when the U.S. pulled out and reinstated crippling economic sanctions. Iran has repeatedly claimed its nuclear program is for purely peaceful purposes, but Western powers and the global nuclear watchdog say they are not convinced. Western officials have warned time is running out to restore the deal before Iran's program reaches a point where it cannot be reversed.
In his remarks reported on Monday by the semi-official Fars news agency, Mr. Islami reiterated comments made by senior advisor Kamal Karazi. Iran has the technical ability to build an atomic bomb, but such a program is not on the agenda, Mr. Islami said. In his own remarks made to Al Jazeera news channel on July 17th, hey, my birthday, Mr. Karazi said Iran has the technical means to produce a nuclear bomb, but there has been no decision by Iran to build one. There have been growing concerns over the so-called breakout time, or the amount of time it will take Iran to amass enough highly enriched uranium for a nuclear weapon. In June, the head of the Global Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, said Iran could acquire such a quantity in a matter of weeks. The U.S. put the breakout time at about a year during a period in which the nuclear deal was intact. However, Mr. Grossi said possessing enough material didn't mean Iran could manufacture a nuclear bomb. The IAEA said Iran had 43 kilograms, or 95 pounds, of uranium enriched to 60% purity. About 25 kilograms of uranium enriched to 90% is needed for a nuclear weapon. The claims from Iran that it has the technical know-how to develop a bomb come at a time when Iran and world powers are at loggerheads over reviving the 2015 deal. Months-long on-off talks in Vienna have stalled, and rare indirect negotiations between the U.S. and Iran on issue ended without an agreement. So, we'll see what happens here. I think that it's just my two cents. I think it's absolutely foolish that we've got any sanctions on Iran. We're the ones that screwed them up in the first place, and we keep screwing with them, and then act like we're surprised that they're hostile to us. Anyway, I think that we'll see something happen there. Something's got to give. This is related, but this is less newsy. I ran across a blog post called collectifivision.nl, and it's when you read it, it reads like Collective Vision, but it's a pro nuclear energy blog. But they had a nice argument over nuclear energy, and I wanted to just share a bit of it. The argument's well known. Nuclear power causes pollution, with nuclear waste for many millennia. Our children's children may not even know how dangerous it is. Let's tackle this once and for all, because nuclear waste is not actually a problem. It's important to note that if we look at how much resources and CO2 and greenhouse gases are released and used, generated in the creation, we can see that hydropower consumes and generates tons of CO2 with how much concrete it uses. Wind also. Solar uses a lot of steel and concrete and copper. So it's very troubling because nuclear to get a nuclear plant built uses significantly less resources than the other greenish options. Coal, of course, takes coal and gas have very minimal needs because they're just burning fossil fuels. So a lot of raw materials are used per terawatt hour for fossil-free energy sources, especially concrete and steel. I'm just trying to get the highlights out of here. I've kind of shit the bed with this story because I'm trying to compress it. But in general, after being in a reactor for several years, old fuel rods have to cool down. That's done in a cooling bath for 5 years, after which they're kept dry and air-cooled. Then this waste mainly consists of fuel. It's mostly uranium and plutonium, more than 95% even after 3 years. So then there are some waste products, but the ones that are actually strong waste products were things like uranium-235, 236, 238, plutonium-239, 240, and 241. And these all could be used as fuel. These could all be reprocessed and used as fuel. The other elements that are in here have significantly fewer, have shorter lifespans, and are the more dangerous ones. But they have known uses, like molybdenum 99, only has a 66-hour half-life, but it is used in medicine. You got praseodymium, barium, ruthenium, cesium. I think the only one that is kind of a not sure what to do with is cesium-137. So, only cesium-134 has a somewhat longer half-life. But also in this case, the radioactivity after 10 half-lives is less than 1 per mile, and thus at the level of background radiation. I wasn't totally convinced about how do we deal with the nuclear waste? But really, it's so small, the amount of waste used. Essentially, what happens is, let me find the number. After almost 50 years of production since 1973, okay, here it is. The Borcell. Where's Borcell? Let's give the whole context here. All right. Borcell, which I guess is a nuclear plant. This is in not English. .nl, so I guess it's in Dutch. But I can't read it. Anyway, Borcell produces only 1.5 cubic meters per year of high-level radioactive waste. After almost 50 years of production since 1973, it has produced a total of 75 cubic meters. This is approximately 2 sea containers in volume. And of that 75 cubic meters that it produced, 0.75 cubic centimeters, I guess, of real waste would remain. And that's after 50 years. So then you've got some radioactive waste. Well, it needs to be stored securely for at least 300 years. Finland has built Onkalo for this, where it can be stored forever without problem in a stable geological deposits of thick layers of clay that haven't changed for hundreds of millions of years. So, it seems like the problem's been solved, it's just a matter of changing hearts and minds. So, anyway, I will send that through the link shortener, but we gotta get back to
world news.
Yeah, we gotta get back to it. So, away we go. Afghan-Iran border clash. Taliban says one killed. Afghanistan's Taliban forces have clashed with Iranian border guards on the frontier between the two countries. The Taliban say one of their soldiers was killed in Sunday's fighting, which occurred on the border area between Afghan's Nimroz province and Iran's Hermand region. Each country blamed the other for the incident. There have been several clashes at the border since Taliban militants took over Afghanistan a year ago. The exact circumstances of the latest skirmish are unclear. We have one killed and one wounded, Nimroz police spokesman Bahram Hakmal told Reuters news agency. And Iran's Sistan va Balochistan province, Hermand official Maysam Barazandeh was quoted by Fars news agency as saying there had been no casualties on the Iranian side. So they have a large border next to each other, something that I always pictured Afghanistan further north, but nope, it is right next to Iran, which kind of makes sense. Anyway, maps. How do they work? All right. Oh, let's keep on moving. In Madagascar, a hunt for a cattle gang after 32 people were killed in a fire. Army helicopters have been deployed in Madagascar to search for a criminal gang that killed at least 32 people by setting fire to their homes. The police said the people were forced inside 3 thatched houses that were then set ablaze. Women and children were among the victims of Friday's attack in Ankazobi district north of the capital. The defense minister blamed cattle rustlers, known locally as Dahalo. Cattle theft and the efforts to stop it have led to extremely violent confrontation in recent years. Footage from the village of Ambolo Ambolo Terekeli, which is located on a small hill in Ankazobi district, showed homes that had been burnt to the ground with just parts of the walls still standing. The Minister of Defense, who visited the area after the attack, said he suspected the community had been targeted for providing information to officials during a previous security operation against the gang. So, just a bit of tragedy there, because it's Monday. We got to talk about tragedies. Speaking of more tragedies, Taiwan's Rainbow Village has been defaced after operators told to move out. A popular cultural attraction and one of Taiwan's most Instagrammable sites has allegedly been defaced by the operators contracted to run it after they were told to move out for 6 months while restoration work was conducted. It was discovered on Friday that many of the walls of the Rainbow Village had been covered in paint overnight. Police detained 14 employees of the Rainbow Creative Company for questioning over the alleged vandalism, including the company's head, Wei Pi Jin, who defended their actions as a protest rather than malicious destruction. They were released on Sunday. And the images show that typically the village is decorated with bright colors and lots of animals and different cartoony characters on the walls with lots of positive messages. And then the walls were just painted over for solid colors. It's still brightly colored because they used the paint they had on hand, I guess. But it's not nearly as fun or loving. Look, it doesn't look nearly as good. In a handwritten note obtained by local media, Huang, age 99, said he was very sad to learn of the mural's destruction. My lifetime's work was destroyed by him, he said. Across social media and Google reviews for the attraction, Taiwanese people expressed anger at the Rainbow Creative Co., with many calling for prosecution. So, if anything comes out of that, I'll let you know. All right, we've got about 13 minutes to go, which means...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
It's time to play a song real quick. We will play something. Let's see if I've got... you know what? Check it out. This is our pal, Ronnie James Dio. He's got something to say about rainbows.
Me! A non-radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thank you for being here and hanging out, listening to the show. Starting at 1930 UTC, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. Fun show that happens every damn day at 1930 UTC. And then following that, we've got Harry Larry and, oh shucks, it's the Creative Commons show. Let's go to anonradio.net, and I'll just give you all the quick rundown of the schedule for today. We've got me, that's what you're listening to right now, news to me, Dubious Goals Committee. Then you got Mix Remix. There we go. Sorry about that, Harry Larry. It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. I like listening to it at work. Then Organized Chaos with DJ M3G5. And then that's kind of the end of the broadcast day. We got some Gordon Nodrog, the automated world news happens at 2300. And then at midnight, we got Stoke Sauce Radio with Stoke Sauce from 0 to 100 hours, and then Free Flow with Nozomi and Masawo at 1 to 130. So check that out if you're up or if UTC0 is a good time for you to be awake. Check it out. I think I might be able to stay awake. We'll see. Usually I start turning into a pumpkin around 1 UTC. So, all right, let's keep moving. There is some more news to talk about, and we've got about 7.5 minutes or so, 8 minutes to go before the time runs out. So good news. What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's usually... Let's do a little bit of good news. Grain ship leaves Ukraine port for first time since the Russian blockade. A ship carrying Ukrainian grain has left the port of Odessa for the first time since the start of the Russian invasion. The Sierra Leone flagged ship Rezoni, carrying 26,000 tons of corn, finally set sail for Lebanon on Monday morning after weeks of negotiations between Ukraine and Russia, led by Turkey and the UN. Russia has been blockading Ukrainian ports since the start of the war, stoking a worldwide grain shortage that has caused the UN to warn of looming hunger catastrophe. Alexander Kubrikov, Ukraine's infrastructure minister, said Ukraine, together with our partners, has taken another step today in preventing world hunger. The first grain shipment from Ukraine, enabled by the UN brokered deal, departed early Monday morning from Odessa. There is a map. What? Yeah, there is a map, which of course means I need to give you a short link. So I'm going to do that because, oh man, maps, they rule. Let me just make sure nobody's hanging out in here. All right. L. Boop. Because when I make the short link, it's going to post it in there. But Ukraine map. All right. That short link is sdf.org/L/57. So it's sdf.org/Lima/57. sdf.org/L/57. If you go there, you will see a nice map that shows where Odessa is and the path that the boat is taking from Ukraine down to Istanbul. Essentially, a coalition of Turkish... I hope that image is a good one. It might just be the map without the text over it. The Guardian likes to do that so that people don't steal their images. They just draw the map and then they use JavaScript or something to write the data over the top of the blank image. So anyway, we start in the Ukraine, and a coalition of Turkish, Ukrainian, and UN staff will monitor the loading of grain onto the ships and ensure they're not carrying weapons. Ukrainian vessels will guide commercial vessels along safe paths through mined areas along the coast. Vessels will be monitored by the same coalition as they cross the Black Sea towards the Bosphorus Strait, which is down there in Istanbul. Kubrikov stressed that Ukraine had done everything to restore the ports and said the lifting of the blockade would give Ukraine's economy $1 billion in foreign exchange revenue. The Kremlin said the news of the departure was very positive. Ukraine is one of the world's biggest grain producers. About 20 million tons of grain is reportedly stuck in Ukraine waiting to be exported. The blockades caused a worldwide shortage and caused price rises, which pushed some countries, mainly in the Middle East and Africa, towards famine. Turkey's foreign minister, I'm afraid I'm not able to say their name, it's Mevlut Cavusoglu, but the C, S, and G have marks on them that I don't know how to say, so I'm very sorry. But Turkey's foreign minister tweeted that he hoped exports from Ukraine would continue without interruption and problems. We'll do what is necessary to this end. We hope that agreement will lead to a ceasefire and lasting peace. So we'll see how it works. If Ukraine holds Odessa, then they'll still have a big seaport. But if they're going to lose, if they lose the currently Russian held areas, kind of have huge seaports. So we'll see what happens, right? I think Ukraine's going to have a little bit of trouble in the future if they only have one good seaport and Russia has like four or five right in front of them. Anyway, let's keep moving. We don't have time to get too tangled up in it. We do have to talk about something that people might care about.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
England women beat Germany to win Euro 2022. That's right. We are talking about football. England won a major women's tournament for the first time as Chloe Kelly's extra time goal secured a 2-1 victory over Germany at a sold-out Wembley on Sunday in front of a record crowd of 87,192 people. For any match in the history of the European Championships, Kelly prodded home a loose ball from a close range to end English football's 56-year wait for a World Cup or Euro victory. England looked set for victory in the 90 minutes when substitute Ella Toon's sublime chip over Merle Forams put the hosts in front. Germany showed remarkable resilience to bounce back as Lena Magul leveled 11 minutes from time. But for once, England were not to be denied a major tournament success. Kelly fought back from an anterior cruciate ligament tear to be fit in time for the tournament and made herself a national hero by being in the right place to pounce when Germany failed to clear a corner in the 110th minute. So, this is just exciting because Germany is a powerhouse in the world of football, and so for England to win, that's pretty cool. Even when it's the Euro 2022, it's still a major victory. So anyway, football is very exciting, and I just wanted to share that with you. That's all the sports. Back to the news. All right. India confirms Asia's first monkeypox death. The death of a young man in the southern state of Kerala is the first in Asia. It's only the fourth known death from the disease in the current outbreak. The death, reported on Monday, is the first in Asia. Last week, Spain reported 2 monkeypox-related deaths, and Brazil its first. The World Health Organization declared the outbreak a global health emergency on July 23rd. The 22-year-old Indian man died on Saturday, Kerala's revenue minister told reporters, adding that the government had isolated 21 people who had come in contact with him. The person reached Kerala on July... Oh, we're out of time. Thanks so much for tuning in. You guys have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the dubious goals.
Well, that sound means that our time has come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC.
Oh.
Talk to you then.
And real quick, the short URL for the nuclear program, nuclear article, was tx0.org/15x. That's tx0.org/15x.